This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. It is always a joy to talk to Dan Pompey, he of The Bleacher Report and The Athletic and many national bestsellers. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
We are living the dream. And, you know, the question we asked this morning, Dan, about Mitchell Trubisky was whether or not he would get better, worse, or about the same in week two. I mean, you know, I think we saw him operating very well when the plays were scripted, when the game began, and then not so well in the second half when the game was on the line, and certainly after they got another bite at the apple with the ridiculous penalty against Clay Matthews. Where are you on the development of Mitchell Trubisky? And, you know, again, it's not overnight. The guy hasn't played a ton of games. We understand all the issues around it, Dan, but where are you at with him?
Yeah, you know, I think when we see players like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and even Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, come out and have kind of immediate success or instant success once they start playing, it kind of skews everything, and we say, well, why isn't Mitch Trubisky lighting it up in his first start of the season? But I think really what we're seeing with him is kind of the norm for a young quarterback. You know, it just takes time. There are going to be peaks and valleys and rough spots and times when it just doesn't click the way that everyone hopes it would click. So I think it's just kind of premature. You know, I feel the same way about him now as I did in the off season, as I felt last season. And that's, we just don't know yet. And we don't have a big enough body of work to know. It would be nice if he were further along. I think based on everything that the coaching staff has said, that they thought he was maybe further along, but that was just one game too. So you never know. Maybe he comes out and lights it up against Seattle. I have a hard time drawing a lot of conclusions on a very limited body of work.
Right. Dan, I think one of the observations you made on 670thescore.com and in your post-game analysis was a good one. And you know, Tariq Cohen, he had 41 yards combined rushing and receiving. Seemed like more. And it seemed like early on they used him in a way that was creative, that was explosive, and then it sort of stopped. And I thought that was sort of symbolic of the way the offense was. It was like the first two series, you're like, oh my gosh, this is worth the wait. This is the unveiling, the great unveiling. And then it sort of like became stagnant. Why do you think that was?
Well, I think there were a couple of reasons. First of all, the Bears had a lead, so I think they might have thought, you know, there's no reason to do things that are out of the box or take risks that could end up in turnovers or three and outs. And then I think the other thing is, you know, it's possible that the Packers made some adjustments on what some of the things that the Bears were doing with Cohen, and they realized that he was kind of a featured aspect of what they were trying to do offensively. Maybe they took things away. But I think that, you know, the overall impression is that this coaching staff has got some ideas about this kid, and I think they're going to continue to churn some things with him and use him in different ways, which is great because he's got a lot of ability and a lot of different ways that he can attack defenses.
What did you make of Khalil Mack? I mean, that was as dominating a debut as we've seen around here. For the first half was just astounding.
Really, it was incredible. You know, we all knew he was great, but to be able to do that with very little preparation time and practice and football conditioning was really just incredible. I mean, he truly is a game changer. I wrote the other day on a column on 670thescore.com that, you know, he reminded me of Lawrence Taylor, the way he played. He's so explosive, and he's got that shark mentality, and he's a natural. And, you know, I would just expect that he's going to continue to get better and better. You know, I don't know. I know the second half the Packers did some things to try to neutralize the pass rush, and they were trying to get the ball out quicker and protect Rodgers, obviously, when he was hurt. But, you know, I wonder if Mac kind of tailed off a little bit, too, because of the conditioning, because all of his production was in the first half. But he's something else. He really is, and I think he's going to make everyone around him better.
If Mac's explosion onto the scene and the offense sort of like imaginative beginning in the first two series were among the most encouraging things you saw from the Bears, what were among the most discouraging things for you?
Well, you know, we touched on a little bit early. It's just the 2-minute deal. You know, if you can't lead an offense in a 2-minute drill and be efficient, get first downs that aren't handed to you by penalty, and move the chains and get points on the board, you know, you're not going to win a lot of games in the NFL because so many games come down to that. So, it was Mitch Trubisky not playing well, but it also was beyond him. It was kind of complete collapse, I thought, offensively during that period. So, to me, that was the worst part about the game for the Bears because they had a chance to come back there and win it with a field goal. So they couldn't do that, and that's not a good sign. The other thing were the cornerbacks late in the game. I thought played poorly, obviously. The dropped interception, and you know they gave up a touchdown, and that Randall Cobb touchdown. There were some poor angles by the safeties, and so that back end needs to be a little crisper, a little sharper, and I don't expect them to match what the front end is doing, but at least to complement a little bit better.
I know a lot of people in Chicago don't really care about the Packers, and yet as great as Aaron Rodgers was, that might have been the worst game I've ever seen Clay Matthews play. I saw afterward he was credited with one tackle, and that penalty was just inexplicable.
For a veteran.
For a veteran player.
A leader, a Pro Bowl guy.
A guy that you, a six-time Pro Bowl guy that you lean on and think, you know, they really, they kind of let themselves down a little bit, and he just didn't have a good game.
No. And, you know, what was interesting about the game, I think, too, is we saw the Packers have some vulnerabilities, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do against the Vikings this week, against a team that clearly is better than the Bears and, has something to really play for up there. But it's going to be very interesting to watch how they evolve. Defensively, they are kind of feeling their way a little bit with a new defensive coordinator, I think. They've got some new players who are starting to kind of establish themselves and change things, they hope, defensively. But we'll see how it all plays out for them.
Boy, that quarterback better stay healthy, buddy. They better not be carted off again because they really need him.
Because
too.
Jay Cutler's not coming in to save the day.
Yeah. No, and I don't think Deshaun Kaiser is either.
Well, we know that.
Well, we were joking yesterday that they should sign Jay Cutler. He'd be good there because he gets along with the guy.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Jim McMahon went up there, didn't he?
That's it. Didn't Mongo play there for a year? That's unbelievable.
He did, yeah.
And
there's
Dan,
a number.
Rick Meyer was there at one point. I mean, all ex-Bear quarterbacks.
And yes, that was Dan Pompey comparing Jay Cutler to Jim McMahon.
Wow.
Hey, he threw for more yards.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan. Thanks,
Tom. Okay, guys. Thank you.
That is typical media, twisting and turning the facts. It's all you guys do.
You can take it. We're just kidding. No, all in fun.
It's all good. It's all a good laugh until someone loses an eye. What? All right. That is, it's always good to talk to Dan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.